Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to jump right into the Word of God, because I believe this. God has a word for all of us in this place tonight. I believe God wants to speak something. How many come to church just to come to church to sit? Anybody? How many come to church to hear something from God? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay. And I believe this. When you come expecting something, then I believe that God's going to deposit something in your life and give you something back. So let me do this. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to jump right in and dive right in to my message. So, Father, I thank you for tonight, God. Lord, I just come to you, God, and I thank you, God, that you're doing a powerful work in this church, God. I thank you, Lord God, you're doing a powerful work in the body of Christ, Lord. But Father, I just come to you tonight, God, and I thank you, God, that we get to come into this place, God, and we get to preach your gospel, Lord. I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint the words that come out of my mouth, Father. I pray tonight, God, that you would be with this congregation, be with this church, God. I pray tonight, Father God, that as this word is being ministered, Lord, that God, you would speak to your people, God. That not one person would leave here not changed tonight, God. That we would all have an encounter with you tonight, Father. So, Lord, I just want to pray for all the churches that are all over the Inland Empire, God, and really all over the world that are preaching and teaching your gospel, God. Bless them, God, the same way, God, you bless us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Well, tonight, I get the privilege to bring a message to you guys that's been just in my heart for a while. Anybody ever had a message from God that's just been inside of you that you're just trying to figure out and trying to work it out of you? And tonight, I get the privilege of working out a message that God has put in my heart for a minute now. And, you know, while I'm going to preach this message, I'm going to be a little transparent with you tonight, if that's okay. I'm going to be a little real with you tonight. I'm going to share a little bit of personal things that I'm going through in my life as well. Is that okay? If that's okay, wave at me. Because how many know we go through things in our life, right? How many know this? Our life can be a struggle at times. Wave at me if you believe that. How many right now can be honest with yourself and not worry about the people around you and not feel shameful, but say right now you're in a place where you're going through a struggle in your life? Raise your hand. Okay? Okay, a lot of us, right? Now, I know our life could be not just a struggle, but at times not only a struggle, but how many know we can have struggles in our marriages? How many know we can have struggles in our relationships? How many know that we can have struggles with our kids? Anybody know what I'm talking about if you got kids? How many know we can have struggles with our jobs? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we can have all types of struggles in our life. But I want you to understand something. I want you to know something. Even though that you can have a struggle, and struggles come at us at a regular basis, on a regular time, literally all the time, you got to know something. Jesus is much bigger than your struggle. You got to know that whatever you face in your life, whatever challenges, whatever struggle, whatever a difficult situation, whatever thing that you're encountering, even right now while you're sitting in church, you got to know something. Jesus is greater than that struggle. And if Jesus is greater than that struggle, and we're bought by the blood of Jesus, come on. Then guess what? Our struggles don't mean they're struggles anymore. They're victories because God gives us the victory. So tonight I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are going to look at a person who I love named Paul in the Word of God. Does anybody like Paul in the Word of God? Just wave at me real quick, okay? Paul went through all kinds of struggles. We don't even have to get into every struggle that he went into. But we can just name a few of them. Shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten every time that he preached the Word of God, thrown in prison, being told one thing to another thing and being tossed back and forth, but yet still God was still with Paul. And how many of us have had the Paul experience in our life? How many of you have been shipwrecked? How many of you, how many of you have been beaten for the Word of God? Nobody out here, come on. But how many of you are ready to be a Paul and be beaten for the Word of God, no matter what the cost is, and make that stand and say, God's going to get me through this? I don't know about you guys, but I find it hard sometimes to fight in a struggle, if you get what I'm saying. Sometimes I feel beat up while I'm struggling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I alone up here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I know that even though we have a relationship with God, and even though we walk with God, we pray, we read his word, we can still feel at times beat up in a struggle. We can still feel defeated. But here's the thing, we don't got to stay there. And we don't stay there. Why? Because we're bought by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by Jesus. And not only that, we are now being used by God to do what he asks us to do in the obedience that he asks us to do. And guess what? Part of it is you're going to go through struggles. I wish I could tell you you're not going to have struggles in a Christian walk. But I'd be lying. And I have to tell you the truth. We go through things as believers. I've talked to so many people and thought, oh, I gave my heart to Jesus. Everything's going to be perfect in my world. I wish it was like that. But it's not. But there's a reason why we go through these things. There's a reason why we need to be strengthened in these things. And so as I read chapter 12, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, I want you to understand something. That God shows up in the midst of our struggle. And we're not alone while we're in the struggle. Tonight I've titled this message, Strength in Our Struggles. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, it says it like this. And he said to me, my grace, my what? Is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's what? Sake. For when I am weak, come on, when I am weak, he is what? Strong. Tonight I want to give you a few things about what we can do while we're in the struggle. But not only what we could do while we're in the struggle, to find strength in our struggle. Because here's what I want you to leave with tonight. I don't want you to leave with staying in your struggle. Come on, somebody. But I want you to leave with, I got strength by God to get me through what I'm facing. To find strength in our struggle, we must, number one, recognize our weakness. You have to recognize your weakness in order to find strength in your struggle. Where I'm weak, he is strong. And one thing that Paul said that was very capturing was this. He speaks about, in the verse above for that, a thorn in the flesh. Recognizing that his weakness allows God to strength in him. And let me explain this to you. God never took this thorn away. And so how many of you out there tonight feel like there might be something in your side, come on, or there might be a struggle that you deal with on a regular basis, and you've been praying, and you've been asking God about it, and you've been trying to get direction on it, and God ain't speaking nothing to you about it because God says, hey, that's a thorn that's in your flesh right now, and I'm going to show you something. Through that flesh, and through that thorn, and through that area of your life where you're being pierced right now, I'm going to give you strength so you cannot boast about yourself and not think you're all that, but instead you know that God gives you the strength. God gives you the power to get through those things. Listen, if you had that thorn and you were able to do everything you did normally all the time, who are you depending your strength on? Yourself? Or are you going to start depending on God to get you through? And so the first thing is you got to recognize it. You have to recognize this, that it's there. You got to recognize that not only that it's there, but God is using it to strengthen you. You know, there was a time in my life where I was afraid to get up in front of people. My gosh, when they would ask me to do a book report in school, I would run. Or I would ditch that day because I wasn't going to stand up in front of people. I was that kind of person that would sweat, get all nervous when I talk, be shaken. But then God called me to preach the gospel. And then for the longest time, I thought, man, that's a thorn in my side. I don't think I can do this, God. God goes, no, you're right. You can't do this. Matter of fact, you're lousy, but I give you the power, and I give you the strength, and I give you what you need to do it. Am I the only one that's ever felt like that before? Come on, somebody, be real. Anyone else ever feel like that? Just wave, yeah. I'm not good enough to do that, God. I don't think I can handle that, God. I don't think I can step in that place, God. I don't think I can apply for that job, God, because I'm not qualified. Did you know that God will qualify you if he wants you to have it? If God opens a door for you, God's going to qualify you to step into it. And if you step into the door that God opens for you, guess what? He's going to not only give you the strength, not only give you the mercy, not only give you what you need to get through it, but guess what he's going to do? He's going to allow you to walk through it, and he's going to bless you while you're in it. So when we realize our limitations, we will really rely more on God for our success rather than our own abilities and our own talents. When you realize your limitations in life, when you realize there's stuff that you cannot accomplish on your own, then you will be relying on God to get you through it and God to give you the success. Because I can't do success on my own. I'm not successful. I'm a child of God, so that makes me successful. But if it wasn't for God to give me the strength, to give me what I need to become that person, I'd never be it. I would never be the person I am today if it wasn't for God. But it also took a lot of recognizing. Come on, someone. It took a lot of recognizing some things in my life that I had to fix. What, Pastor? You had to fix? Absolutely. There was lots of things in my life that I had to fix. And the only way I could fix them is know there was limitations in me, because I couldn't fix a broken marriage. Come on. I couldn't fix a diagnosis of a disease. Come on. I couldn't fix some of the things that I've been through in my life. Come on. The only person who could fix it is me, knowing my limitation. And when I knew my limitations, I had to fully rely on God. First step in finding strength, write this down if you're taking notes tonight. First step in finding strength in our struggles is acknowledging our limitations and our weaknesses. I love what Francis Chan said. He says it like this: the power of Christ rests on me, not because of my strength, but through my acknowledged weakness. I remember when my son was younger. I have three boys, three amazing men of God, but I remember when my youngest was young. And I remember a time where we were all together at a pool party and barbecuing and just having a good old time and, you know, just hanging out and making burgers and hot dogs, and little dogs were running around, but my son was the youngest one. My other two sons were already in the pool and they were just swimming around and they were having a fun old time, but my youngest son thought that he could be like his older brothers. And so during this time, as the brothers are swimming and they're, you know, they're doing their thing in the water and they're wrestling and they're playing. If you got boys, you know what I'm talking about. There's not a dry moment. And I'm talking to my wife, and all of a sudden, my youngest son decides to go up to the water. And I thought, as a parent, I thought you're going to go up and stand on the edge and be a little afraid to maybe the water and slowly get in. No, 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 my son didn't care. My youngest son just, I'll never forget this day. He just begins to run, and all of a sudden, he just jumps in the water. And I'm like, oh, no. I jump off, I jump up, and I run, I jump in, and he's dog paddling like this. But he's not going under. He's staying above. But here's the thing, guys, listen. When a child is learning to swim, they need to understand there's limits in the water. When you're learning to swim, you can't just jump in and just think you can swim. He had to understand that there was limits in the water that helps him learn and grow to become a swimmer, to become more able like his brothers to actually swim in the water instead of just jumping in. And these things help them learn and grow. But let me say it like this. When we recognize our weakness, it allows God to help us and guide us through our times. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight. When you recognize your weakness, you know you're allowing God to help you through your hard times. So how do we do that? Here's how. In our daily lives, we must be humble. We must humble ourselves and confess our weaknesses. Don't be afraid to confess your weakness to someone. Then you go through prayer. Ask God to reveal the areas where you need his strength. Ask God this question tonight. Ask God this question. God, where in my life do I need your strength? Where am I weak in my life? Am I weak in my job? Am I weak in my marriage? Am I weak in my relationships? Am I weak in my thought life? Am I weak in just life alone? Am I weak in these areas? God, where am I weak? Because God, where you I'm weak, I need your strength. And when you give me strength, God, then I know I can get through what I'm going through right now. A few moments ago, I asked everybody in this room, how many of you are facing something right now, and how many of you are going through a struggle or challenges in your life? And almost every hand in this room went up. Here's the thing. Ask God, where do I need your strength, God? Where do I need your strength, God, to get me through? I can't do this alone, God. I'm tired of fighting it alone, God. You weren't meant to fight it alone. In your weakness, he gives you the strength, but you got to make and rely on God himself. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your spouse, not your person that you call your mentor in your life. Yeah, they're great. They can give you good advice, but only God can fulfill your deepest needs, and only God can really give you what you need in your life. David writes this in the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 through 24, it says it like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Has anyone ever prayed that in here before? Has anyone ever asked God, search me, O God, and know my heart? Every morning I get up, I ask the Lord. I tell the Bible college students this all the time. Every morning I get up, I say, God, search my heart. Show me if there's any wickedness in my heart. Because God, if there is, I need you to identify it so I can get rid of it. Because I can't go on my day living like that. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Tonight, we're talking about finding strength in your struggle. My second one for you tonight is this. Embrace God's grace. While you're trying to find strength in the struggles and troubles of your life, here's what you got to do, church. You got to embrace his grace. In that passage, Paul reminds us that God's power is made perfect in our what? Weakness. So let's look at it together, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 again. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made what? My strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I love what Paul is saying here. Paul's given us an example of Paul saying something. And what Paul is saying is here is when we admit to our weakness, God can use them to help us grow spiritually and become closer to God. By depending on God's strength, we can exercise and experience a deeper relationship with him. See, by depending on God, not depending on you, not depending on the person next to you, but by depending on God's strength, we can experience a deeper relationship with him. Paul wants us to understand that God's grace transforms us. And even though we are weak, God can make us strong and what? Perfect. But we have to embrace that grace. We have to get into that place and really have a dependency on God. His word. His truth, because no one can give us truth like the word of God. Come on. No one can speak to us the way God can speak to us. Yes, God can use people. I totally believe that. God has prophets in his church. God can use prophetically people, but nobody can speak what it is that God needs to speak to you that you need to hear right at that moment in that perfect time. You could be going through a struggle and God can give you one word that will change your struggle and change your life and bring healing to you for the rest of your life just by one word. Write this down if you're taking notes. God's grace is not just a covering for our failings. It's the empowering presence that allows us to overcome challenge. Today, maybe you find yourself in a stuck place. Today, maybe you find yourself confronted with challenging situations. Today, maybe you find yourself in a tough circumstance. Maybe you found yourself in a way of never finding a way out, and you're depending on everyone around you. You're depending on a word from your neighbor. You're depending on a word from a spouse, but you need to depend on a word from God, because God will give you that word that you need that'll change your life. And when you depend on God's grace, and embrace it, it will get you through the struggles and get you through what you need in your life. So today, I want to challenge you with this. I want to challenge you that you not depend on yourself anymore, and you say, God, I depend only on you. I love what we say here at the Rock Church. And if you don't know it, you can see it right up here, right behind me. But if you know it, I want you to say it with me. And if you don't know it, read it and say it with me as well. Is that all right? On count of three, here's what we say at the Rock. One, two, three. God's what? Sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't what? Do it. That's what you got to embrace, grace. Pastor, I don't know how to get a promotion. I don't know how to tell you to get a promotion. God's grace. Pastor, I don't know how to continue to make this marriage work. I don't continue how to raise my kids. I don't know how to continue to get out of an addiction. I don't know how to get out of this stuff that I'm in. Here's what I know. God's grace. Pastor, I just don't understand life. Me either. But God's grace does. Pastor, I just want to get rid of this guy. He drives me crazy. Get rid of him. No, just kidding. Don't get rid of him. Depend on God's grace. Embrace his grace. It'll change your life. You know, I'm going to show you a picture real quick. There's a picture I have of a pot that does watering. If I can go ahead and throw it up there real fast, guys, throw that picture up. There you go. You everybody see this picture? Just say yes. What is wrong with that picture? Shout it out. There's a crack in it, right? Although there's imperfections in that pot, I guarantee if you put water in it and you walk with it, it'll still leave a trail behind you. Come on. Even though there's an imperfection in it, it'll still do that. Here's the thing. In the same way, God's grace works through us. In the same way, God's grace through our imperfections brings about growth in us and growth around us. We're not perfect people. We're never going to be perfect people. Let's just be honest and real with ourselves. We have a lot of imperfections, but guess what? We have God's grace. We have God's ability, when we can't do it, to get things done for us. It's God's grace that we got to start embracing. Listen, church, when we embrace the grace of God, it will change our life. Matter of fact, here's how you do it. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I don't know how to embrace it. Here's what you can do. You can write this down if you want. Focus on God's actions in your life. Focus on the actions in your life. Here's another one. Remember past struggles where God showed you faithfulness. Remember something in your life that was a struggle where God came through and he was faithful. How many have experienced that before? If you've ever experienced God coming through in your life, raise your hand. Where he was faithful, God came through and gave you grace. Anybody know? Anybody? Okay, there we go. I got you. I see you all the way over there. Remember your past struggles where God showed faithfulness. Here's another one. Use these memories as reminders of his grace in current and future struggles in our life. You know why? You're going to still have struggles when you walk out this door. Come on. You're still going to face things tomorrow. You're still going to face things next week. You're still going to start your car tonight, and it may not even start, and you might have a struggle there. It might get upset and hit the wheel like it's a piece of junk and won't start. But let's be honest. We're going to face this stuff. But if you can remember what God did for you before, and that memory, and have that memory of where God showed you faithfulness, you'll get through your struggle a lot easier. Because you're going to go back and remember, God did this for me once, God did this for me again. And if God did it for me two times, God did it for me three times. And if God got me through this situation, God's going to get me through this situation. And if God got me through that one, he's going to get me through this one. And if he got me through that one, he's going to get me through this one. Here's the thing, he's going to get you through it, but you got to embrace his grace. I love what the writer of Hebrews says. He encourages us not only to embrace grace, but he also encourages us to embrace the mercy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Go there with me real quick. If not, it'll be up on the screen. It says this. So let us come what? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace. Say grace. To help us when we need it the most. Tonight we're talking about finding strength in our struggles. Tonight, the last one I want to bring to you is this. In order to find strength in your struggles, the last one is this. Fully depend on God. The best thing we can ever do in our life when we're going through something, the best thing we can ever do in our life when we have a struggle, the best thing we can do in our life when something hits us at a left field, the best thing we can do is depend on God. When you get a bad doctor's report, guess what? Depend on God. When you get laid off at your job, don't think it's the end of the world, because here's what you can do. Depend on God, and God gives you a better job. Depending on God is the best thing that you could do. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says it like this. It's a statement, and he said it like this. I'm not even going to read the whole verse. I'm just going to underline this one thing. He says this: when I am weak, then I am strong. That reflects the power of relying and relying on the strength of God in our life. You know, just recently, for about a year now, I haven't been feeling well. And during this process, you know, some of my friends that are close to me, they understand. I was kind of telling them, I don't know what's wrong. My body's been hurting. My joints have been hurting. I can't move my hands sometimes. And my body, it's just everything doesn't feel right. I told you I was going to be a little transparent with you guys. And is that all right? Because maybe someone out there is dealing with this too. And so I know, and so for about a year I hadn't been feeling well, and just these things were going on in my life, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. And how many know, like, we don't always want to run to the doctor? Because we're always like, I don't want to hear what they gotta say. Right? But you know, it came to a place where I was like, you know what? I'm not feeling good. Other people are starting to notice it now, and they're like, why is your husband walking like that? He's really young. Kind of young, but shouldn't be walking like that. And when other people start noticing it, I'm saying to myself, like, okay, this isn't good, this isn't good. And then when people come up to me and they go, what happened, man? You lost all your muscle mass. Like, you used to be bigger. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. When people say that, like, yo, you used to work out, now you look all small. Like, well, thanks. I'm on a strict diet, you know, I just can't lift a lot. Okay, anyway. But I don't walk 300 hours a week like Pastor Joel over here, you know. But to make a long story short, I went in and got all this blood work done, and the doctors came back, and they were like, you know, we got to do some more blood work because what we're seeing doesn't look right and doesn't look good. I'm like, okay, I'm standing in faith. Like, okay, whatever. Like, I believe God, I trust God, you know. And during that time, you know, we're having other challenges going on, and you know, we're fighting, I feel like we're fighting demons in every direction, if you get what I'm talking about. Anybody know, like, when it rains, it just pours? And, you know, we're going through this, and, the doctor gives me this report back, and they're saying I have this disease, and this disease is not a life-threatening disease, you know what I mean? But it's still a disease that can affect your life, if you get what I'm saying, right? And so I can't even pronounce the name of it. It's so weird. But it's like an autoimmune one, so I had to change, like, to gluten-free. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. But now I got to go gluten-free because I'm going to do whatever I got to do in the natural so God can do the supernatural. Hired a nutritionist, got me on this crazy, like, grass-fed only diet, and beef and beef and more beef. And I'm like, I'm tired of beef. Can I get a chicken? You know what I mean? It's like, and so I'm going through all these things, and I get this doctor, and this one doctor was like, you know, well, this is what you have. Here's a link. Go read about it and take over-the-counter drugs. And I thought, are you crazy? Like, I've already been taking over-the-counter drugs for a long time. I'm still in pain. It is not helping me enough, and I'm still at that place where it's like, this ain't fair. Like, what's going on? And reading about it, you read it. And how many know when you read it? Now, I didn't go to Google. I went to the link they sent me, because if you go to Google, automatically you're dying. So I go to the link they sent me, I read it, and I'm like, oh, this doesn't look good. Oh, okay, I got to do this, I got to change this. But then I pray, and I say, God, what are my answers? I'm your child, God. I'm your son, God. I've sacrificed things in my life, God, to serve you, God. I've left jobs, I've left careers, I left this, I did that. I was obedient to you, God. What are my answers? God whispers something in my voice. And he goes, go talk to this person. What? because I don't want my business out there to everyone. But now it is. Because I'm free from it now. But God said, go talk to this person. And I went and I talked to this person, and this individual said, she goes, oh, I deal with the same thing for 10 years now. Okay. She goes, I know what you're going through. I know how hard it is. What did your rheumatoid doctor say? I said, oh, this is great. I'm glad you asked. Here's what they said. Here's a link to go read about it and take over-the-counter drugs. She goes, oh, no. Let me hook you up. I like that word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me get you to my rheumatoid doctor. Oh, come on, somebody. I met the guy Wednesday, on fire believer from Water of Life Church, gave me answers I needed. It wasn't the healing that I'm waiting for, God, but here's what he did. He gave me a word from God, he gave me wisdom from God, and he's treating it with God's Spirit. But I had to depend on God in a deep time. In a dark moment, I had to depend on God. In a moment where I could barely get up out of my chair and walk to go preach on a Wednesday night in front of teenagers. Oh, let me tell you, teenagers see everything. Pastor, why are you walking like this? Because I'm in pain. I'm not trying to be cool. That's over with. Like, I'm just being real with you. Points where I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't sleep because the pain that was in my body, if you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. The inflammation chart was double what it's supposed to be. So when you're in having that much inflammation in you, you are in pain. But right now, you wouldn't be able to tell. Matter of fact, I've had people say, you look better. Your skin color, I'm like, I'm white. What do you mean it's coming back? They're like, your skin looks even better. And I'm like, how do you tell white was never? Oh, and by the way, you're walking even better. Church, had to depend on God's grace. Had to depend on God for my healing. And I'm still standing and believing and depending on God for my healing. And I'm not going to stop. You know why? Because I'm a child of God and I'm demanding that healing. I love what Robert Hughes says. He says it like this. The struggle you're in today is developing you for the strength you need for tomorrow. Let me say it again because I think you need to write this down if you're out there tonight. The struggle you are in today is developing the strength you need for tomorrow. Here's what he ends with. Don't give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. If you're in a struggle, don't give up. Keep going. Keep staying connected to God. You know, branches cannot bear fruit on their own. They need to be connected to what? The vine. A branch cannot produce fruit on its own. It has to be connected to something. It has to be connected to the vine in order for it to what? Bear the fruit. But once it's connected to the vine, guess what? The fruit then begins to bear. It begins to grow. The same thing in our life. Our strength comes from being connected to Jesus, the true vine, if you believe that tonight. Give God a praise. Matter of fact, John 15:5 says it like this. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and what? I in him bears much fruit. For without me, we can do nothing. Just like the branches have to depend on the vine to produce, we have to depend on God for our strength. We have to depend on God to give us the strength that we need. So maybe you came in here tonight facing that struggle. Maybe you came in here tonight wondering how you're going to do life. Maybe you came in here tonight on the urge of having a divorce or separating, or came in here tonight feeling really bad and have been diagnosed with something. Here's the thing. Stay connected to the true vine, that's Jesus Christ. When you stay connected to that true vine, guess what? That's what's going to produce the fruit in your life. And the fruit that he's going to produce in the life is the exact fruit that God knows that you need right now at this moment in your life. It's not a fruit that's dead. It's not a fruit that's rotten. It's a fruit that lasts and is one he knows that you need right now in this moment. Tonight as I close, I want to close with this tonight. We talked about finding strength in our struggles in life. We talked about some of the things that we need to do in order to find that strength. If you remember, the first one was this: we got to recognize our weakness. Recognize where we're weak, where our limitations are, so now we can rely on God. The second one we talked about tonight was this: embrace God's grace. Get into a place and embrace his grace. How are you going to embrace his grace? Remember how faithful God has been to you in the past. I've talked to so many people that have said, I had cancer at one time in my life, and God's grace came in. God healed me, and now I'm cancer free. I've met with so many different people that have been in a place in their life where they said their marriages were falling apart and God's grace came through. And now today they're serving the Lord, they're connected, and they're in church, and their families are doing great. So tonight I want you to remember that. Recognize our weakness. Number two was embrace God's grace. And number three tonight was this: fully depend on God. There's a few more things I want to give you tonight as I close. If you have a pen, write this down. The first one is this: acknowledge our weakness. Reflect on the areas of our life where we feel weak or insufficient. Another one is this: seek God's grace. Seek God's grace. Don't seek just for things for yourself. Come on. No self-seeking. Let's seek after God and his grace. Here's another one: change our perspective. Pastor, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Practice viewing challenges and hardships as opportunities for God to demonstrate his power in you. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. Practice viewing challenges and hardships and opportunities so God can demonstrate his power in you. Here's another one: rely on God's strength. Rely on God's strength. Our strength can only get us so far. Come on. Our strength can only get us so far. But we got to learn to rely on God's strength. How are we going to do that? When we're faced with a situation where we feel weak, consciously remind ourselves to depend on God's strength rather than our own. Here's another one: find joy in challenges. I know it's hard. Believe me. I can say it because I've been there. It was hard to find joy when you're in pain. It's hard to be a nice person when you're in pain. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's hard, but I had to find that joy. And the only way I could find it was turning to God's word. The only way I could find it was get up early in the morning and spend time with God. The only way I could find it was get on my face before God and say, God, help me cultivate a mindset of joy. Because right now, Lord, I'm not feeling it. But God, I need it, and I want to live my life with joy. Here's another one is this: encourage others. Encourage others. Share your experiences, your personal experiences, and how you've applied these scriptures to help others facing similar struggles. Listen, church, let me just say it like this. Your testimony is the most powerful thing next to Jesus that people need to hear. Some people won't even listen to the gospel, but they'll listen to somebody share a testimony that changed their life. So tonight, let's do this. For a few moments, I just want to pray. And I want you to ask God a few questions in your life. While I'm closing tonight, before we move on to the next thing, I just want you to sit in God's presence for a moment. And a big question that I want you to ask God is this. God, what do I need to get through this struggle in my life right now? Pastor Donnie gave me three things tonight that was going to help me, God. Which one of those things do I need to really help me, God, get through what I'm going through right now? God, do I need to recognize it? God, do I really need to start depending on you and not myself anymore, and YouTube and all the other shorts and everything that's out there? But God, what is it that I need tonight so that I can get through what I'm going through in my life right now? Take a moment. Take a moment. If you're writing it down, it's fine. Just write it down. If you want to share it with a neighbor, you can. If you're online and you're taking a moment to do this, you want to share it with somebody, share it. But what is it that God's speaking to you tonight? What is it you came in this room with tonight? What is it you came in this sanctuary tonight with? And God's saying you could leave without it. God's saying you don't got to carry this anymore. God's saying, I want to set you free. I want to heal you. Take a moment and ask God what it is. And after God lets you know what it is, just write it down for a moment. Then I'm going to challenge you to do something. Tonight, pray about it. Throughout the rest of this week, I'm going to ask that you spend time with God and just pray about it, what he's showing you. Maybe you're putting a limitation on God by believing you got the answers yourself, and God's saying, you don't have the answer, I got it. I need you to depend on me. What is it? So, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord, for just speaking to your people tonight, God. I thank you, God, that you're moving in their hearts, God. I thank you, Lord, God, that you're showing them, God, things, God, that they need to write down, God. But not only that, God, that you're not only going to show them, God, you're going to give them wisdom, you're going to give them guidance, and you're going to give them direction, God, on how to get out of these things, God, and how to find strength, God, in their struggles tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, we all said amen. I'm going to go ahead and bring Pastor Teresa up.
Thank you so much, Pastor Donnie. What a practical word for us to take into our week, right? I didn't have any trouble with number one, acknowledging my weaknesses, but that grabbing a hold of God's grace and then just staying there full. I just had a picture as we were listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, this idea of grabbing a hold of his grace. It's like going to hugging the Father, and then his arms just come around us and lift us up, right? All we do is go a little bit, and he goes the rest of the way, and he carries us in those difficulties. Such a wonderful God that we serve. Thank you, Pastor, for your study. Thank you for your preparation. Thank you for bringing the word tonight. Hey, y'all, I want to know, we are so excited if you've come to visit with us tonight. You've not been here before, and we don't want to let the service end without saying hello, introducing ourselves, maybe giving you a little bit of information about us. So if you are here tonight and you came for the very first time and you're visiting tonight, would you just put, I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you, just wondering, would you put your hand in the air? I think our ushers are going to stand to their feet because we've got some people over here in the back. They just want to put a little bit of information in your hand. You're wondering, why are they clapping? Because we're happy you're here. We're glad that you've come out. So if there's any usher on this side, maybe somebody can help us. I got a couple people here in the back. Could hand them an info card. Thank you guys back there for working on that. And then on this side, if you could just wave again. I see Ruben there. He's waiting if that's you. He just wants to give a little bit of information there. And there's a little piece on that information card where you can put your information, tear it off, keep the rest so you can know a little bit about us, and put the other one in the offering bucket that's going to come by in just a minute. But if you don't have time for that, there's some black boxes on your way out. You can always drop it in there so that we can just say hi. We're not going to spam you, bother you, but we are excited that you're here tonight. If you're online watching with us for the first time, there's a number on your screen. If you want to text that number, just hi. You're going to get a video from our senior pastors welcoming you, sharing some information about our church. We're excited that you joined us. And if you're in the area, we hope that you can soon come and be a part with us here in person. So welcome to all of you who are here for the very first time. We're clapping because we're excited that you're here. We're going to take a minute now and take some time actually for our giving tonight. God has called us and he has invited us, right, to be in business with him when it comes to our finances. Somebody said recently up here at the pulpit or something that I read, I don't even remember where, right? But that, you know, we do life with God. He's our business partner. And the interesting thing about him is that even though everything we have is from him, he only asks for 10% and he allows us to steward the other 90, right? What business partner do you know that says, keep it all, I'm only going to take 10%? But the reality is even that 10%, even that what we call the tithe, that first portion of what we earn, when we invest that, when we sow it in obedience, basically what we're saying is, God, I trust you. God, I trust you that you can make the 90%, right, be more than enough to meet all of my needs. And I have the honor and the privilege of giving into the house of God so that the work of God can continue here in the Inland Empire and throughout the world. So tonight, as we think about our finances, as we sow, we've got a confession of faith. If you would stand to your feet just for a minute, every one of these bits of this confession, you might say, why am I saying this? Because they remind us of the character of God. They remind us of the goodness of God. They remind us of the things that God does through his people as he brings increase and as he honors our faithfulness. So go ahead and take a look at the screen. And if there's something that stands out to you, maybe you need a job, then you want to point at that when we say it. Maybe you're looking for raises or benefits, or you just need a good idea for God to put the gifts that are in your life to work. Just say it, shout it a little bit louder as we say it together. All right, say it with me tonight. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decrease, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound towards me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah just means praise the Lord. We're excited about the opportunity to do that. Ways to give. You're wondering, how do I give? How do I sow? There's a bunch of ways up on the screen. You can give electronically using your cell phone. You're welcome to take that out and do that now. There's a QR code. There's an app. There's also a tap to give right in front of you on most of the seats. Just lean over, put your phone in front of that, and it'll go to the page where you put in the amount that you want to give. But if you brought a physical offering tonight, you're giving by cash, or you want to use your credit card, the ushers that are going back and forth, they got their eyes open, they're looking out, just raise your hand and they will give you an envelope where you can deposit that cash or use your credit card to give. So if that's you, just raise. There's a couple people right there in the back, if we can get an envelope to them. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you, ushers, for helping us with that. As you're preparing your offering or giving electronically, let me just go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the privilege, God, and the resources to give into the kingdom of God. Thank you that we get to be part of your gospel going out into the city of San Bernardino, the Inland Empire, and throughout the world, God. Thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to share in the work that you're doing, Father, and that you promise that as we do that, God, that you're going to bless our lives and you're going to take care of our needs. So we ask tonight that you would bless the gift, multiply it to meet the needs of the house and the needs of those that we support, God. And bless the giver, provide their needs as they depend on and trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, I got a couple of announcements for you. I know it feels early, but you're seeing it everywhere. How do I know? Because I was at Costco yesterday, and Christmas was everywhere. So it isn't really that early, right? What's my announcement? Girls Night Out vendors. If you are interested in kicking off Christmas with us here at The Rock and being a vendor for thousands of women attending the Girls Night Out event, there's the information on the screen, right? We're accepting applications now, but they closed like this week, right, Pastor Sue? Like in 2 days or something. So get that application in. Call the church offices tomorrow. Get that application in so we can check out your goods, check out your product, and then see if you'll be one of our vendors at Girls Night Out. Also, we have got Trunk or Treat coming up. Trunk or Treat, you're like, what? Hold it, stop. The church is celebrating Halloween? Absolutely not. But here's the deal. The world makes a big deal of this day of celebration of much darkness. And the Bible calls us to be the light in the world. So as the world gets darker, we get lighter. So we are going to shine a light. We're going to turn on the lights, and we're going to be the light, and we're going to invite the world, our community, our neighborhood, right here to the house of God, and we're going to serve them. We're going to love on them. We're going to smile at them. We're going to give them the love of God. We're going to preach the gospel to them. So we want you to be a part, to help us do that. Invite, spread the word, let people know there's a safe place, there's a fun place, there's a great place, and you can participate by decorating a car with the light of the world, right? Not the darkness of this world. You can come dressed up, representing a biblical character, the goodness of God, and participate. So there's more information on the screen. We love you guys. After the announcements, Pastor Donnie will be right back.
Come and join us on October 31st at 5:30 p.m. for 2024 Trunk or Treat. There will be plenty of candy, food vendors, and fun for the kids. This is a safe and friendly place to bring your family. Invite everyone you know. Get involved by bringing a bag of wrapped candy and placing it in the donation bins in the outer foyer. If you want to decorate your car and pass out candy, please visit the command center. And to volunteer for this event, sign up at the Info Hub after service. We look forward to seeing you there.
Get ready, because the men's breakfast is back. Come fellowship with us on October 19th at 7:30 a.m. in the Youth Auditorium with special guest Jeff Osborne. Breakfast is only $15. Men, this is the last one of the year, so join us and we'll see you there.
How many men do we have out there tonight that are ready to go to men's breakfast? Awesome, awesome. It'll be good. Come on out. Jeff Osborne's an amazing man of God. Powerhouse preacher. You've heard him before on a Wednesday night here. We've had him in the youth as well. He's just an amazing man. But before I dismiss you guys tonight, I want to do something that's really important. Matter of fact, the most important thing that you could do in a church service is this right here. Maybe you didn't get anything out of the message or didn't even hear a word in the message. That's okay. But I want you to hear what I'm about to say right now, because this is really important. Matter of fact, there's lives that are at stake in here, that if they walked out of these doors tonight and they don't get a hold of this message, they won't stand before Jesus one day and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So tonight, before I dismiss you guys, I want to ask you this question. All over this room, if we can just take a moment and examine our hearts and ask ourselves this question. If tonight was your last night here on earth, you walked out of these doors tonight, you got in a car accident. You left here tonight and an earthquake hit Southern California. Lord forbid that happens, but if it hits, this is reality and this is life. You leave here tonight, you end up in a hospital, and you never come out. We've seen that before. If it was your last night here on earth, where would you end up? Would you end up in heaven? Or would you end up in hell? You might be saying to yourself, "Well, Pastor, I am a really good person. And because I'm a good person, I'm going to make it to heaven." Listen, nowhere in this Bible, nowhere in here does it say because you're good, you're going to go to heaven. I mean, if you can find it and show me, then I'll believe you. But guess what? You won't find it because it's not there. There's nowhere that it's written. You might say, "Well, Pastor, I go to church on Sundays and I go to church on Wednesdays. I go on to Friday night to Raya. I go every time the doors are open. I even go to Women Rock PM, Women Rock AM. Great, I'm glad you go to services, and keep coming to church services. Keep hearing the word of God. But just because you go to a service does not mean you're going to make it to heaven. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There are a lot of people out there that think because they're good. There are a lot of people out there that think because they go to church. There are a lot of people out there that think because they come from a great family, or they come from a family of people that serve God, a family of people that know that their parents were leaders or pastors, or, you know, even had their church at one time. They come from a family like that, and they think because they do that, they think they're going to go to heaven. Listen, I have to tell you the truth. You're not going to make it to heaven that way. There's only one way you can make it to heaven. And that's you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You coming into a place of surrender, you coming into a place in your life to say, I don't know God, but I want a relationship with Him. Until we come to that place and come to a full surrender and give our whole heart, whole life to Jesus, we're just spectators of what church is and spectators of what God's doing. But here's what I got to tell you. You won't stand before God and Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you're thinking, well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. Why would you not be ready? Some of you have tried every other religion and every other thing in this room, and yet none of that's given you an answer. And the only answer that you're going to get, the true answer, is Jesus Christ. And it's time that if you tried something else, that you come into a place and realize in your heart, I need to try God. Because here's the thing, when you try it, you'll never go back. He is too good, too faithful for you to go back. And He desires to have a relationship with you. He desires for you to come into a place of full surrender and say, here I am, God. I want to receive you tonight as my Lord and personal Savior. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to give every one of you the greatest invitation that you can have in this room ever in your life. And the invitation is this: I'm going to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So all over this room, if you're in this room tonight and you're questioning whether you would make it to heaven, if you're in this room tonight and you know that you're not going to make it to heaven, or you're in this room tonight and you're really battling with whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell, and tonight you want to make sure, tonight I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to make it real easy and I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, bang, just like that. When you hear me go one, two, three, bang, like that, all I want to ask you to do is this. Pop your hand up right where you're at in your seat. You're saying, well, Pastor, I don't want to raise my hand. If I raise my hand, I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, I am not going to embarrass you, and you won't be embarrassed. Or maybe you will, but here's the thing. The trade-off is this. I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment than wind up in hell for eternity, forever and ever. Picture this real quick. Imagine this. Imagine you walked out of this room tonight. Think about this for a moment. I want you to get this picture in your head. You walked out of this room tonight. And Pastor Donnie said, one, two, three, bang. And you know that God was saying, you felt the Spirit of God saying, raise your hand. But you didn't because you were afraid to do it or you were embarrassed of what people were going to think. Now I want you to get this picture. Tonight, you end up in a car accident and you died. And you stood before Jesus tonight. And He said, do you remember that loudmouth preacher? And you're like, uh-huh. Do you remember when He said He was going to give you the greatest invitation of your life? And you're like, yes. Do you remember when He said, one, two, three, bang, like that? And you didn't get up and you didn't raise your hand? Matter of fact, you kept your hands crossed because you were embarrassed. Because you didn't surrender your life to Me. I can't accept you in My kingdom. So depart from Me, I never knew who you were. Or picture this tonight. Picture number two. What if this happened tonight? What if tonight you're in church, had a great service, great worship, great word, heard the announcements, heard Pastor Ronnie say, one, two, three, bang, like that. And a minute went, one, two, three, bang, like that. You popped your hand up. And you said, I want to surrender. I want to surrender to God. I want to give my whole life, my whole heart to Him. And you raise your hand. And you're like, I'm not worried about being embarrassed. I'm just going to make that bold statement and say, God, here I am. Imagine if a tragedy hit Southern California tonight and you stood before Jesus and He said these words to you. Do you remember when you were in church tonight? You're like, yeah. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher? You're like, yes. Do you remember when He said one, two, three, bang, like that? And you're like, yeah. Do you remember when you were like, yes, I want to receive you. Because you received Me, I can now receive you into My kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of God forever. So tonight is your choice, it's your call. Nobody can force you to do this, but here's what I want you to remember. Picture number one and picture number two. Where do you find yourself in that picture tonight? So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. Who should do this tonight? Those who have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Who else should do this tonight? Those who've been running from God instead of to God. Who else should do this tonight? Those who are a little lukewarm, a little in, a little out. At one time, you gave your life to Jesus, but you didn't fully go full-heartedly for God. Instead, you played with it. And you're in and out, talking prayer here and there, service here and there. Do what you want when you feel like it. Do what you need to do when you want to do it. And you didn't really sell, you didn't really fully buy into the gospel, fully buy into God. The Word of God says it like this in Revelation chapter 3. When I come back, it's not a matter if I come back. The Word says, when I come back. That means there's a statement there. He's coming back. And he says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven if you're living a lukewarm life. So tonight, what I'm going to do is this, is I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I need to get right with God. Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're saying to yourself, I was lukewarm and I want to rededicate my life. When I count to three, all I want you to do is pop your hand up all over this room, from the front to the back to the side, wherever you're at. Tonight, make it your night of salvation. One, two, three, bang. Anybody in this room? Anyone in this room? Go ahead, pop your hand up. One, two, three, four, five. Help me out, ushers. Six, I got you. Any more, just pop your hand up all over this room where you're at. Six wise people, is there any more? Wherever you're at, just pop your hand up. Don't walk out of this room tonight not knowing. I got you. Seven, eight, got you. Any more, just pop your hand up all over this place. If there's any more, just pop your hand up. There's eight wise people. Are you raising your hand? I got you. Nine. Any more, just pop your hand up. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. It's between you and God. I got you. Way in the back. Ten. Is there any more in this room tonight? If that's you, and you're saying, tonight, I want to make it right with God. Tonight, I want to give my life to Jesus. Tonight, if Jesus came back, or if I got an accident and my life was done, I want to make sure that I'm right with him and I stand before him tonight. And he says, well done. So there's 10 wise people. Is there any more in this room? All over this place. Just pop your hand up. I'm going to give it a few more moments because the Spirit of God is working on some of your hearts. Some of you are thinking, should I do this? Yeah, why not? Some of you are thinking, well, if I do it, I got to change. Yeah, you're going to change for the better. If there's any more, just pop your hand up. Let's just help me out if you see any hands. All right, well, let's give God a praise for 10 wise people tonight. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We're all going to stand to our feet. Grab your purses, grab your coats, grab your friend. Come on up to the front. As they come up, we're going to give you guys a hand. We're going to celebrate with you because tonight you made the greatest decision of your life. So come on up.
Come on
up. If that was you tonight, okay, just raise your hand. You got to come up to the altar. Come on. Give me a few more moments. Come on up. There they come. They're coming. Come on. Yep, they're coming. Come on up. If that was you, maybe you said you should have done this. You didn't. Come on up. It's not too late. Come on up. Maybe something's tugging in your heart. Come on up. That's you. Come on up. Give a few more moments. Come on up, buddy. Come on up. He's coming. They're coming. Come on. That's you. Come on up. God's calling you home tonight. Come on. That's you. Come on up. If there's any more, just come on up. Come on up. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys came up. It's awesome. Tonight, you are making the greatest decision of your life. Tonight, what you're saying is you are exchanging your old self for the new you. And you're giving your life to Jesus, and you're coming to a complete place of surrender. So tonight, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to say a prayer with you. And as I say the prayer, I want you to repeat it after me. Matter of fact, the whole family of God behind you is rooting you on, and they're going to repeat it as well. And if you miss a word, don't worry about it. Don't be like, dang, I miss a word. It's okay. Just know that you're doing this. It's in your heart. And then right after we pray, I'm going to send you right over here to my friend, Pastor Joel. He's waving at you. He's going to take you right alongside, and he's going to give you some materials to help you guys out in your walk with God. But let's do this. Let's pray, and let's invite Jesus into our heart. Father God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you that I have the opportunity to give my heart to you. Jesus, tonight, I ask that you come inside of my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I have decided to turn away from hell and turn towards heaven. Jesus, tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, empower me to live my life for Jesus. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Come on, church, let's give him a praise. So here's what we're going to do is this. You're going to go with Pastor Joel right now. He's going to offer you a program here called SPT. What is SPT? Spiritual Personal Trainer. Somebody to come alongside of you for the next several weeks and teach you basic things of the Word of God. Why do you need that? Because we want to give you a friend here, one that's going to help you. Because when you leave here tonight, you're going to go home and you're going to look the same. You're going to smell the same. You're going to feel the same. But you need to know this. You gave your heart to Jesus. And you tell the devil to shut up and go back to hell where he belongs. Come on. And he's going to offer you a friend to help you walk your way and teach you and disciple you and teach you basic things out of the Word of God. All right? All right. Go ahead, Pastor Joel. Well, church, it's been fun. I'm glad you had a good night. Did God show up tonight? Come on. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Go ahead and lift your hands. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you guys. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. God, I bless you for every single person that's in here, God. I thank you, Father God, that you're doing a work in their life, God. I thank you, God, that you're putting a word inside of them, God. I thank you, Lord, tonight, God, that they're embracing your grace, God, that they're depending on you, God, that they're recognizing what they need in their life, Father. And Lord, I pray this, that anything and everything, God, they touch, that it shall prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.